On this week's episode of Marketing O'Clock,
Google has some upgrades to the SERPs that'll have you saying, notes way.
Ew, we uncover some hidden consequences for European Facebook advertisers.
You were naive to think there weren't more ads coming to SGE. Sponsored content was spotted in Google's search generative experience.
Oh, on today's show.
Welcome, you are listening to Marketing O'Clock. Just stay tuned. Digital marketing news, but let's get specific. Digital ads, SEO and analytics, social media and more. Pretty much everything that'll make your website perform. With new shows every Friday. We give you the news. News with sass and puns and definitely high takes. Thank you for tuning in. You know what time it is. It's officially Marketing O'Clock. Settle in, sit back, keep it locked.
Hey there, I'm Christine Zernhell,
a.k.a. Shop.
I'm Jess Budd.
And I'm Greg Finn.
And it is officially Marketing O'Clock.
Here on November 17th, 2023.
All right, and before we get into all the digital marketing news of the week, Shep, let's get a little recap of what we did last week.
Best 3 days.
Yeah, we were out in San Diego for Brighton SEO, and that was your first SEO conference.
Yes.
And kind of PPC.
Yeah.
A little more heavy on the SEO side. What'd you think?
Okay, first of all, it was, don't get me started. We don't have a lot of time. It was so cool to be there in the wake of the Alligator Party article. Like, all the SEOs were just buzzing. Yeah. Like, I really felt like I was a part of something. And then beyond that, oh my goodness, like making connections with all these people that I feel like I already know from the internet and are already my best friends, like just warmed my heart so much. Like the whole trip made me so happy. I cannot live in a world where I don't see Andrea Cruz like once a month now. Her flight was delayed and she had to stay an extra night. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. It's like, sorry, Andrea, but like my loss, my gain is your loss. Like I'm just so happy. PPC Greg and his wife.
Phenomenal.
I need you to drive
have no
and see
idea
them.
How many times I have had to hear about PPC
I'm
Greg
obsessed.
And his wife.
I'm obsessed.
I know. I love it. It's great.
Yeah, that was my favorite part, right? There were a lot of old friends that we saw, you know, Akvila, Michelle Robbins, all people that, you know, I know. But we've had like a huge divide since what happened in 2020 that we can't talk about on YouTube. And I haven't met a lot of these people. Mm-hmm. So like Andrea Cruz, PPC Greg, Susan Winograd, Menachem.
Sarah Steeman.
Sarah Steeman, Sean Ellie, Amit, the Ad Squire boys. Boy, were they something.
They were something.
The Edge of the Web gang. Like it was really cool to see all these people that we talk with all the time and like see them in person.
In PPC, we're like, everything we're talking about on Twitter, I feel like is very negative a lot. Like we're like fighting against Google. So it's like Anthony Higman's like yelling in all caps all the time. Then you meet him and he's just the nicest person.
I was up in his penthouse till 1 a.m. and there was a lot of yelling.
Yeah,
going on.
I went to bed early that night.
So what were some of your favorite things other than the people?
Okay. When you got us a pedicab to karaoke and I almost lost my life and the guy like didn't ask any questions. Like I'm sure he's the one who had to clean the pedicab if I threw up and I almost did. He was doing donuts.
Literal donuts. He just kept going in circles trying to like kick us out of the pedicab and then he was driving us to this event. I think he just went the long way because it wasn't nearly as long. It almost was faster walking home than it was using that pedicab.
It was.
And then like the train sign would come down like there's a train coming. He'd just like skirt around it and like just drive around and
that's
do more donuts.
Terrifying.
And it was wild.
And Andrea Cruz's hair just looked perfect the whole time. It was the craziest thing.
It wasn't even blowing in the wind.
We had a beautiful lunch, marketing a lunch that Jill Fetcher planned. Shout out Agency Scoop. And thank you so much to everyone who came. It was like really good food and just so nice to sit down with everyone and talk. Oh, it was just amazing.
I can't eat tacos again. They were so good.
Oh, it's so good.
And that corn was like unbelievable.
You know what was really good last week, you guys? The episode. Shout out to PPC Greg. Yeah. I don't need to be here anymore. I think we just bring him in every week on Wednesday and I'll just stop doing the show. You guys, the three of you were amazing. I loved it.
Thank
I
you.
Actually listened.
We
it
missed
was great.
You though. Everyone missed was asking too. About you.
Yes.
She's here.
People loved Higman's performance when he kicked the door down and came in to talk about LSAs or whatever. It was the extensions. And then seeing Danny up on stage was another highlight. Mm-hmm. Got to talk to him a little bit and catch up. And he just still has it. Like, he's just so entertaining up there. And, of course, like, one little thing will, like, come out and everybody's like, buckle up. Like, everybody's buckling up. Like, that's.
Yeah, if there was a conference this week, they'd all have buckles. Last week they had, like, inflatable alligators.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
sounds
Calvin
like a lot of fun.
Had, like, a alligator costume on for one of the panels. Yeah, it was a whole thing.
Terrifying.
But really great.
Yes.
It was awesome. Mm-hmm. But The flight back is a little rough.
Oh, what?
Just I just don't like red-eyeing West Coast to East Coast.
I don't sleep at home either, so. Oh, that's nice. I knew where my neck pillow was because I use it in my rocking chair every night. Mm. So. What's happening in the news?
We actually have a surprising amount of changes coming to Google search. This is like the most I can remember, like some of the biggest changes. So I kind of grouped them all into one. So first up, there's going to be a follow button in Google search, and it's going to help keep you up to date on topics that you want to keep coming back to search for. So maybe you are looking for pedicabs or something like that. You can go ahead and follow that. And then the weird thing is you'll then get like notifications if you have them enabled. So like you'll start getting new content pushed your way if you have the Google app. And then it doesn't work for sensitive topics. So maybe for you, it wouldn't work because it was, seems like it was quite a sensitive topic, that pedicab.
The pedicab, yeah. Trauma.
But the example they gave was like half marathons and training. So that's something that you can do. And then there's a new section coming as well, and it seems like it's going to be populated through kind of what you follow, and it's going to be called New For You. And in the write-up, Barry Schwartz, the incredibly fast talker, had a note saying that there's a section that may be added called News For You. And the example, it looks like it's called the New For You, so not news, just one note. And it seems like it's going to show you some of those topics around the world that are coming from a perspective standpoint. So we've seen perspectives on mobile, and this is, again, trying to pull in like user social content, not as much search, traditional like SERPs, but more from social media and stuff like that. So like some pretty big items, and I'd imagine that the New For You is probably going to take in the perspectives. It's probably going to take into account some of the topics you follow. And I know you can follow that in Discover, so I'm guessing there's probably crossover on that too. I didn't see anything with that. In Discover, though, you also might see search buttons to click on for any topics that you subscribed to. So it's like kind of like mixing everything together a little bit more. One of the examples was like fashion trends. And I don't really get that as much because it seems like the Discover feed should be about what is hot content for you. Like you shouldn't have to go search a traditional Google search unless they're, again, trying to like revamp and rethink and reimagine the whole Google search experience. Mm-hmm. Again, perspectives are coming out on desktop. That has been on mobile in the past. So we'll see from social media platforms, discussion forums, blog posts, and other communities. And they're also going to be highlighting more creators' details. So more information about the people that created the content. So you can get like more insight on that. So that's pretty cool. Another major change that's coming is notes on search results. And these aren't just like notes for yourself. These are like notes you can share with everybody on the search
results. Sounds like Twitter.
Yeah, I was going to say community notes.
Yeah, so the example is a breakdown of every frosting, and it's, you know, there's 80 different notes. You can see this sort of like almost like a little post-it note sign on there, and when you get into it, you literally make it like, you know, those like crappy Facebook posts where you just have like a gradient or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like it's sort of like that where you just get, or it's kind of like that mixed with like Instagram stories, but you get to choose some text and put a little note in there. But it's not actually on the site. It's hosted on Google. You can see who did it. An example of this would be somebody named Kamala said, a little lemon zest in your cream cheese frosting goes a long way. And it's highlighted and there's like a little sticker in there.
I guess recipe seems like the most obvious application.
Yeah, this seems like a good use case. Yeah. But I feel like people are going to put this all over things where it's really not needed.
Yeah.
This is like the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like this or like how to's maybe, or like if you've got some like for soccer, if I'm looking at soccer drills or something, you could be like, well, you should really make it this size.
Or travel. I feel like people could be like, you know, this article doesn't mention this place and it's amazing or something like that. I feel like there's applications for it.
I also feel like it's more browser based than it should be search based. You know what I mean? Like if you have Chrome, it'd be nice to be like, here's what other people are saying about this, because now you have to go back, you have to search to find the article to then look for the note.
Yeah.
To find the note. Like to me, it would make sense to be like, I'm on this page. What are people saying in Chrome so I can see about this recipe instead of going to search to find the recipe? So it's kind of strange. And then I would imagine people are going to just spam the hell out of it and it's going to go away.
Yeah.
You're going to be like, this software sucks. It's overpriced. And you're just going to do that to your competitor and have everybody like putting all this crap notes in there. Like that's the.
Or Google will make the note.
Stick links in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Google could make the note like the whole article. So there's even fewer clicks off of Google.
How dare you? They would never.
Great point. And then Google said each note is ranked for a given web page based on its relevant to the search query and the content on the page. The notes are crawlable by Google for ranking purposes. So you actually might be onto something. Maybe the notes are just going to start ranking and their pages won't even rank anymore. And Google does not have plans to use the notes for ranking purposes in their normal search results. Strike everything I just said from the record. So this is a ranking feature. It's just isolated to ranking the notes about the page. At this time, it does not seem like the notes will actually show. And then there also were, Google said it's working on ways to give publishers insights into the notes left about their web pages and content. And Google did not tell if it would be a feature in Search Console, but hopefully like that would be the case because that would be nice. If not, what do? You just every day search for your articles and take a look at these notes that are in the SERPs, but nowhere else.
That seems like really a really good use of time.
Yeah.
Okay. And then lastly here, this isn't really like an, those were kind of like, I'd say upgrades to the visual performance of, or just the visual elements of the SERPs. There's now something that is hidden gems, where Google search ranking improvement aims to surface hidden gems. So Google will now surface personal insights and experience from social media blog posts and forums. This is not an updated helpful content update. Barry Schwartz, incredibly fast talker over at Search Engine Land, said that the hidden gems announcement Google made was back in May, but this was not rolled out back then. Apparently, this is so confusing. So I'm just going to read what Barry wrote. Google told us back then that the hidden gems feature was not yet live, but it seems like it was. Google today told us it actually went live as a part of the core ranking system a few months ago, but Google told us it wasn't live less than a month ago. Although what Danny Sullivan wrote back then was, this work is still continuing and is not part of the particular update. We'll share more about our work in the area in the future. So while we all interpreted that it was not live yet, it didn't necessarily mean that. So I don't know when it was live, but apparently these hidden gems will be when people are sharing their firsthand knowledge and their own personal insights and experiences with others on the public web. And Google is trying to highlight that content in search results and search interfaces and hopefully get more of the expertise and experience that we hear and eat rather than a lot of the parasite stuff that we were talking about last week. There's more. You can go read it at Search Engine Land. I don't really care anymore about it. So that's my news. Do you have any other main news here today, Shep?
I have an SGE update from the one and only Glenn Gabe on LinkedIn.
Oh, the Search Generative Experience?
Yes. Ever heard of it?
Yes.
He says, interested in SGE and how Google will monetize it? We know Google has explained it wants to test more ads in SGE answer and possibly sponsored posts of the answer. Well, I saw the sponsored module while testing SGE recently. The carousel of sponsored content showed up after asking follow-up questions. These weren't ads. They were articles in a sponsored content carousel. So he had a couple of screenshots in here. They're all like pest control related with really triggering images of ants and flies. It's articles pulling in and it says, identify the ants in your home, get rid of ants. So it's not ads. It's sponsored content. And I don't really know where it's coming from. He said, worth noting that I had these show up for about a day in SGE, then nothing. So Google is clearly testing the module of sponsored content, and it was based on follow-up questions in SGE. If you focus on paid, definitely a big heads up. So maybe like there could be more like publishing and ads?
Yeah, but this to me doesn't look like any type of RSA at all. Like this looks like more like PMax, Demand Gen, Discovery ads. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But even then like...
Or just a PMax ad on some site and it's pulling in an article.
That's probably it. It's probably final URL expansion on PMax and somewhere in the Orkin site it says identify the ants in your home and then you get a picture of a giant ant.
This is why you need to make sure you're optimizing for bottom of funnel leads because I don't know if they're going to get any new customers from this sponsored content, but good to know.
Yeah, but everything we've seen before has been like shopping. That's sort of in there, not even really like baked in. Well, some of them were baked in a while, but this is like actually in there. Mm-hmm. So, and of course, this was like, I think right after there was an SMX panel with PPC Greg about like, what is the future of SGE ads going to look like? And then this got spotted like right after.
So annoying.
Or maybe he saw it. I don't know.
Now it's time for this week's take of the week. This is a hashtag fire digital marketing take with extra spice served up for you. We simply deliver the take for your consumption. We give no opinions. We don't influence. You make the call.
This week's take of the week comes from Colin Slattery, but I'm going to read some emails. And this is from Barry Diller of Expedia, and he was emailing the Google executive, I believe was head of ads at the time, Philip, with two P's, three P's actually, one at the beginning, two at the end. And Barry said, "Dear Philip, I do appreciate your writing and offering to help Expedia during its difficulties. You will forgive me for being direct, but I will tell you that I found it more than ironic, since much of Expedia's trouble is due to an increasingly aggressive Google. I've said in the past that I've been both a supporter and I believe a friend to Google and its senior management through all these years, but I must say I'm on the edge of revolt now that Google's actions are so punitive, not just for Expedia, but also for IAC and all the players that depend upon something of a level playing field. Google's policy of constantly shrinking free search in favor of their own ad products and other disintermediating policies is harsh and hurtful to those who depend upon a fair marketplace." There's a whole lot here. I'm just going to read some of these numbers, and then I'm going to get Colin's take on it. Barry goes on to say, "I want to share some items that in the last days have come across my desk and starkly show how difficult it is to function under Google's rule. First, directly below is a chart showing the payments one of our subsidiaries, VRBO Travel, has made to Google. From 2015 to 2019, 5 years, VRBO has received the same amount of visits, some 500 million, from Google. The visits never change much from changing year to year. Yet the money VRBO has paid Google has doubled every year, going from 21 million to almost 300 million over those 5 years. Incredible, no? Seems to me a pretty devastating example of Google essentially squeezing out all the profits from a company that has spent a huge amount to organize information and create an efficient marketplace on vacation properties for the benefit of consumers." There's a whole lot more there, but Colin's take, and Colin's been saying this forever. Colin, once a quarter he says this.
And he's seen paid.
Oh yeah, he is. He says, this is from February, from his blog post. He says, "From my blog post in February, Google's ultimate goal is to have their advertising system evolve into a flat tax on business. Every business has a minimum acceptable return. That is, the lowest return on their ad dollar where they will keep advertising. All returns in excess of this minimum acceptable return are viewed as a bug in the system by Google. These are dollars that could otherwise go to Google, and they are working their hardest to ensure that those dollars do in fact go into their pockets instead of the advertisers." Can't say it better than that. And you look at it, you look at the DOJ stuff, you look at all these emails. Yes, they're trying to figure out where that line is and get as close to that line and make sure that you don't go past that line or they were going to lose the advertiser. Mm-hmm. A flat tax on businesses. Thank you, Colin.
Now it's time for this week's ICYMI.
ICYMI, people.
This is something you just might not have seen. Maybe something that you overlooked, but you shouldn't have.
ICYMI, people. Sophie Logan wrote a really awesome article for Search Engine Land about the Microsoft Audience Network expansion. It's called Microsoft Audience Network Expansion, Higher CPCs, Lower CTRs, No Added Value. Poor Sophie wrote this article like at a week that I'm at my most high boiling point about this exact topic, and I'm about to pop off. So she has an example in here of how the mandatory audience network expansion impacted a software company, which saw 26% of its budget spent with no added conversions or performance benefits. So you can see here it's looking at search with the search network only, and that's been about 14,000. And then it separates out audience ads, because that's why I feel like people are getting confused from this. Like, you can't have an audience ads campaign. Like, think of it as a display campaign. And there she spent $1,600. Then the audience ads expansion, so it's in her search campaign for placements that she doesn't want to be on and can't opt out of, has spent almost $6,000. It's so criminal. And this is low-key one of the worst things. Like, we're always talking about Google, and Microsoft is just doing this. And I feel like so many people don't know the quote, maximizing the power of search intent when this was launched. That's what Microsoft said, apparently, because she quoted it in there. How are you maximizing the power of search intent on outlook.live.com? The only search bar in there is somebody searching their inbox for an email.
What?
Like, what? These are display expansion placements. It's not search intent.
Well, aren't the CPCs lower?
No! They're not? The what? CPCs are $2.49 for audience ads in this example, and $1.78 for CPC.
Oh, yeah, that's actually higher. My bad.
Yeah.
I have a worse one. I've audited this account in real life. This is my screenshot. Search ads total for the whole account in 30 days, $817. Audience ads total, no audience campaigns, $893. They spent more on audience than search.
I bet you got a lot of conversions on
it. No! There actually were some, but we don't know about the quality because they like don't have bottom of funnel stuff. But
was it roughly the same conversions probably?
No, fewer.
Fewer?
Yes, but I couldn't believe there were any.
Yeah.
And audience ads are fewer? Wait. Mm-hmm. I thought they were maximizing the power of search intent,
like,
Shep.
I cannot believe, because some of them are like MSN. People can search on there. You are not maximizing the power of search intent on someone's Outlook inbox. And I had so many placements there. In the example I'm looking at. Okay, so I do want to say there are things you can do. I was looking more into this today because I was looking for like a master exclusion list, and the paid media pros on YouTube have a really great video. Like, just let this be a reminder. Look at audience ads in your account. You need to add a segment for it or you're not going to see it. And they have a guide onto how to look at your website URL report, see where your ads are showing, and you can exclude them at the campaign level.
But you can't do everything.
No, there's so much that's in Microsoft partners and whatever, preferred traffic that you don't know where those are. It's all clumped into one.
Right.
And then like Bing.com is separate than that, but most conversions are coming from that Microsoft audiences and preferred traffic. Like, I don't understand what the difference between that and Bing.com would be. I hate this.
I also like that Sophie's like, in the article, she's like, you have to request to opt out. So you have to, she says, there's no way to manually opt out of the audience network. But if the account has an assigned Microsoft advertising representative, good luck. Advertisers can speak to the representatives and ask for them to turn off.
I've been told no.
Yep.
You asked and been told no?
Yeah. I've not had success either.
This is so outrageous, and not enough people are mad about it.
They will be now.
I'm mad enough for all of them.
At least we have good like matching over there, you know?
Are you kidding me?
Wait, what?
Poking the bear. Now it's time for this week's
pew, pew,
lightning round. At this point in the show, we split up our content into three parts: paid, organic, and social.
And this week's lightning round is brought to you by us. If you want to get a free PPC audit, I'm your guy. We are offering a 30-minute free PPC audit. All you got to do is give us read-only access. You can head over and see some testimonials. It's mainly from PPC Greg, let's be honest. But it's free at marketingclock.com/free-PPC-audit. It's no strings attached. And I will run through and talk, look at your conversions, look at your targeting. It's 30 minutes. That's all you get. There are other people out there that may or may not have been employed by Google that have 10-minute audits that I believe are like $200. This is a 30-minute audit for free. I will make a Loom for you. I will give it to you. You can then do whatever you want with it. You can take it. You can take the recommendations to heart. You can not even ever look at it and just waste my time if you're a competitor and trying to sabotage me. Or you could take it and say, hey, maybe we'll hire you to do this. I don't care what you do with it. It's a free 30-minute audit. marketingclock.com/free-PPC-audit. And you will get an audit from me. All we need is your read-only access, and then you just have to be spending a little bit of money. So it has to be $5,000 a month. Minimum ad spend is not a ton you can do. Everything just gets really sad if you don't have a lot of spend. Mm-hmm. There's just got to be like, maybe you don't want to spend on Google because it's not for you, or maybe just do a PMax. So if you're spending that, let us know. marketingclock.com/free-PPC-audit.
First up in the paid universe this week from Nate Lewis at N8Lewis on X. Just saw that Google is rolling out some heavy new optimization score doings on accounts. When you dismiss it, there are fewer reasons to choose from. So he's trying to dismiss all recommendations for automatically created assets. Great idea, Nate. And his only options are, I'll do it later. I don't think this will improve performance, or this is not relevant to my business. Don't pick I'll do it later. Just never do it, please.
The crazy part is you'll put through, this is not relevant for my business.
And it'll come up again.
It'll come up again.
It might be relevant.
I know this is PPC Greg surface that, but that just drives me crazy. It's not relevant for my business. Don't show it to me, dude.
From Thomas Essel at Thomas Essel on X. Good news for all PPC visual learners. Expand metrics and see performance changes in new color. So if you're looking at compare mode for two different date ranges, you can expand the column and it'll highlight things in different colors to point out outliers easier. This is like made for my brain. I'm so excited.
I love
this.
It.
It's very nice.
This is, we need more of this innovation. Yes.
Yeah. Thanks, Google. Thanks, Thomas.
Like a little conditional formatting on there. Like that makes us happy.
Another one from Thomas Essel on X. PMax audience insights can now be filtered by conversions. Wow, he's finding all the good things. Is he like paid by Google? Just kidding. I would never accuse you of that, Tom. Previously, PMax provided insights primarily based on clicks and impressions. I don't know why. But now you can dive deeper into conversion data, giving a more complete understanding. That is fantastic. Next up from Mike Ryan at Mike Ryan Retail on X. He has a new really great chart for us. It says, new research, what exactly happens when you change your ROAS target? Are some changes too big? Well, how well does Google's algorithm react? Then he says, yes, this chart is complicated. Chill, I'm going to explain it all. And we do not have time to explain it all on this show, but everyone should be following Mike Ryan and definitely this thread if you're doing any ROAS bidding, because I took the time to read it and it's really, really insightful. Next up from Big Tech on Trial at Big Tech on Trial. I wonder how long they've had that handle.
A couple weeks.
Google's witness just let leak that it shares 36% of its search revenue with Apple. Probably the biggest slip of the entire trial. And then our guy, Jason Kint, Jason_Kint, happened to not be there that day. Can you imagine? He's been there the whole time, I feel like. He said, if we take the 2021 default deals revenue share reported by Nylon and we assume Apple has the best terms at 36% of gross, then we can estimate Google counts at least $90 billion of its current annual revenue in search default deals. That's insane.
Wow.
No wonder they have to shake the cushions. And I'm just like constantly thinking about the Apple search engine and like they have such an opportunity.
Well, yeah, what
could
what
be
are
saving
you doing?
So much. Please, yeah, what are you like doing? Come out with a search engine. Just give us real match types. Like we would all flock to you, Apple. What are you doing?
I know. Contact, what is it? Ahrefs? They made that you.com? What was it? Who made you.com?
Let us know when you find it. Okay, from Matt Bowen on LinkedIn. I feel like I'm losing my mind. Same, Matt. He says, no more auction insight fields in custom reports, meaning you have to rely on the campaign view auction report in the UI, meaning no more PMax shopping traffic auction insights. Anyone else? And I just saw this today and I didn't check if this is still happening, but everyone in the comments up until a week ago was seeing the same thing and like freaking out. So not looking good. From Anthony Higman.
Higman!
At Anthony Higman on X, he asked, anyone else notice the new More About This Location asset extension? Seeing them pop up more and more in ads on mobile in the last 2 weeks. Also, I dislike them when they are at the bottom of the page and are easily clicked instead of the more search results bubble.
Yeah, it's the same exact thing. They just switched the carrot direction.
You think?
It looks exactly the same, yeah.
I just, like, what do you mean more about this location? I want him to click on one and tell me if it's the exact same.
Yeah, what's in there?
I feel like Anthony, like, sets aside part of his day to just, like, check out the SERPs, and we should all do that.
Those guys are passionate. Mm-hmm. We were up till 1 o'clock. We should have podcasted that thing. We were just going off.
In the penthouse.
In the penthouse with the Ad Squire boys. Like, it was wild. And then I think one of them was, like, in the pool at 4 o'clock. Not Higman.
PM?
No, yeah.
I'm pretty good.
I'm sorry I missed it, but I really needed to sleep. Okay, Microsoft update. In early 2024, Baidu Global will use Microsoft Advertising's chat ads API to serve, quote, highly relevant and engaging sponsored content, end quote, recommendations to users of the chat AI feature on its mobile keyboard, Baidu Global Keyboard. This will become available in the US, UK, and Australia markets. So more AI happening.
And Canada.
Oh, and Canada. From Nicola over at Search Engine Land, the headline is Microsoft updates email notification processes for ad disapproval. So I was like really excited about that. But then I read further and it says they're updating email notification process for promptly informing marketers about disapprovals in their ads, keywords, and product offers. Does that mean like new Microsoft product offers or like e-commerce product offers? I hope it's not A.
Search engine.
Let us know, Greg. But now it's time for organic, so.
It's Yup, not you.
Okay. Yes. And it is Ahrefs?
I'll let you know in a second.
Okay,
I should just say Yup to that. But.
This is a great segue into the organic lightning round.
Yes. And speaking of the organic lightning round, if you want to learn more from the Brighton SEO conference. We actually have a lot of interviews. Shep did a bunch of interviews. I've got a bunch. We're going to be rolling them out. We kind of did a little teaser video. Follow us on all the socials at Marketing O'Clock. And yes, it was yep.com brought to you by the Ahrefs team there. So I wasn't crazy. I just got a couple
of remember having to write a show title about it.
Yep. Okay. And first up from Spotify, there was a great fan study about podcasts. If you're interested in this, my favorite thing was just looking at the day of week and the podcast consumption, a lot of consumption between 6 and 9 a.m. And there was 78% of all podcast consumption taking place between Monday to Friday and 22% on Saturday to Sunday. Seems like maybe we don't want to make a podcast that releases on Friday.
They get it Monday morning on their way in.
Okay. From Data Chaz GPT at Data Chaz on X. They say, here's a pretty cool tip for searching for custom GPTs on Google. One, you go to Google. Two, you type in site and then colon chat.openai.com/G, and then you can insert what you're looking for. So if you're looking at, for the example was like books, and somebody built a GPT around books, you can now see like what was actually built, and then you can hop in and go grab and like look around at these custom GPTs that people have built. So pretty cool. From Simo Ahava at Simo Ahava on X, Google Analytics 4 now increases the maximum event parameter value length from 100 characters to 500 characters for GA4 360 properties only.
Is it really that big of a deal? Couldn't we all just have that?
No, you can't. You can't and you shall not and you won't. This is applying to custom and predefined params, both event scope and item scope. So keep it under 100 characters unless you're forking over the big bucks. New Google News news. Google News Magazine support will be discontinued on December 18th, 2023. In other news, there was something called Google News Magazine.
Should we put it in memoriam or no?
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
That's going to our end of year award show called The Clockskers. I don't think I'm going to win most pro Google marketer of the year this year. I think it might be Higman.
Oh, yeah.
No, this might be. We'll see.
Well, or Jason Kint.
Yeah, well, we'll take a vote. It's got to be, you know, Democratic here. All right. And YouTube is now making users disclose when they upload realistic looking or manipulated synthetic content, including videos made using its own tools, starting in 2024. Any site creators who repeatedly fail to disclose AI will face penalties such as content removal or suspension from the YouTube Partners Program. There are some examples, and it says that if something's altered or synthetic content. I like the fact that they're applying it to their own tools. I think that's nice. My question is, like, where do you draw the line? Like, is a video game? Some video games look really realistic. Mm. And let's say you've got, like, a Call of Duty or something like that. Call of Duty, you know, 75, whatever it is. Is that, like, something you want to put as synthetic content? Like, I don't know where that comes in. Like, I understand if you're trying to manipulate and do deep fakes, that needs to be done.
For sure.
If you're, like, poking fun at somebody and trying to, like, pretend you're somebody with a face generator. But, like, If tables put something on my face, we have to say it's altered? I don't know.
We need to call the lawyers. Okay.
All right. Glenn Gabe, according to Adrian Decker over on LinkedIn. I'm trying to get into LinkedIn. Ugh, it's the worst.
Like for fun?
No.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to.
Like the way he uses PPC chat.
Wow.
PPC chat.
On Twitter. Like
I don't really use that though. I use
the way
X.
He uses Twitter.
Yeah.
X. Yeah. Wow. Oh, sorry.
But
power to you, man.
LinkedIn is something else. You just get people just slant. It's just. A little bit of you dies every time you log into LinkedIn.
But some people are out there sharing good nuggets.
Adrian Decker is one of them. And he says that Glenn Gabe found that Google had added both pricing and discounts in the new Google Discover products e-commerce section. So there's an example of some furniture on Amazon, some furniture on Walmart. And it is now not only showing the price, but it's showing the discount on that as well. This does also not look like it is a paid example. So this is just using your product feed with the products being pulled into Discover. Glenn Gabe, a.k.a. Gabe, if you're Ginny, says that he's seeing more people also search for on steroids recently. He's seen it twice in the SERP, very close to one another, sometimes with images, then a list, followed by a straight list. Do users need to see that many PSAF modules in one SERP? Again, seeing this a lot, weird. I see more and more of this too, and I wonder how those people also search for items are derived, right? Like one, that's a good way to get more content for your site. If you are looking to rank for something, see what people are also searching for. Not only are people searching for it, but Google is showing that as additional searches, you might get more traffic. But two, it might just be DOJ, it might be tinfoil, Greg. I wonder if there's a lot of ads showing on these people also search for, you know? Like he's looking at NFL football rules, and the example is NFL read option rule. I don't know. It doesn't look like it in this case, but you would imagine that they'd start highlighting things that have more RPM or revenue per melee in those search queries. But maybe I'm just a conspiracy theory.
It's a good theory.
And then lastly here, like I mentioned earlier, Google, the Google search liaison, Danny Sullivan, was speaking at Brighton SEO. And he had mentioned buckle up. That kind of passed over me when he was saying it. But everybody was latching on to buckle up. I think Mike Ryan said that shake the cushions is to PPC, is buckle up is to SEO, which I thought was funny. And Danny had to reply on X saying, I was talking about various things people have raised where they want to see our search results improve or where they think, sure, you fix this, but what about? And these things all correspond to improvements we have in the works. That there's so much coming that I don't want to say buckle up because those who are making good people first content should be fine. But that said, there's lots of improvements along the way.
Everyone should buckle up, even if you drive.
That's my point. Yes. So Danny had an incredible talk. I X this out that the talk that Danny gave as Google was a near mirror image to what he gave as a publisher. It was all, you don't go towards the algorithm, go towards the user, get what users want. That's all he's ever said. He just repeated the same thing. It was phenomenal. He was super funny. He was super degrading on himself. Mm-hmm. He'd say something and be like, well, Danny says this. Oh, Danny, he says this. He's angry. Blah, blah, blah. He would just like keep going.
And that's like what's happened here.
Yeah.
They're just pulling a quote out.
Right. And so he's saying, buckle up. Like, guess what? You drive a car.
It's the law.
It's the law.
Click it or ticket. People.
You should be buckled up. You should be buckled in. Like, what are you doing if you're not buckled? You're going to have a problem. Imagine what happens if you have a crash. It's going to be pretty bad. Why are we so worried about buckle up?
So funny.
People like to stick to things.
Why?
Yeah.
And then I didn't realize he came out of retirement. Like, why did he come out of retirement?
Well, now this is a problem. Like, everybody's like, oh, he said buckle up. And now he's going to go back into retirement. And we're not going to have this anymore. Aww. And he was entertaining to me. It was one of my highlights.
It was
highlights
so good.
And I just love to see it. I love to see him. I love Danny. It was phenomenal.
But everything he was saying, like, I feel like should just be common sense. Like, as someone who's not in SEO, like...
But this is the thing.
Yes,
this is why
he was saying this. Like, yes.
Like, and there's change coming. People say there's change is coming. That's how what he was talking about on stage. And then he said one thing about buckle up. And everybody's like, buckle up. It's like, dude, you should have been buckled. You're in a car and it's going. Like, don't worry, dude.
Click it or ticket, Jess Bud. That's right.
Thank you. Right. I have nothing else to add for the rest of the show, but we can get into my news if you want.
Yes.
All right. First up in social from X Daily. Here's some Twitter expert news. X will now let you sort community posts by most liked, most recent, and trending. So that is very exciting. And there are more community updates coming. This one is from the head of X himself. He was, quote, posting or whatever we call it these days, Enrique, who is a developer for the platform. Enrique said, starting today, admins can now link a list to a community. All posts from that list will show up on your community's top tab for all members. It's available now on web. Posts on Android and iOS will start showing up after the next app update. And then Elon Musk's take on that was that this feature is a game changer for communities. You can now draw on the best of millions of existing data feeds to populate your community.
And people really loved it when Shep was doing the social last week as well. So I've got another grok for you to read here.
No.
That was a joke.
No.
You really did a good job. I like how you said the social round is always so silly. I don't have any silly news this week, but I really appreciated that, Shep. Okay, another post on X from TechMeme. They said Meta is rolling out the ability for users to delete their Threads profile without having to delete their Instagram account. So that is new. As a reminder, if you don't want to full-on delete your account, though, you can just deactivate it. So that's a thing. In addition to this new feature, Meta also announced that the platform Threads is rolling out a way to opt out of having your Threads posts featured on Facebook and Instagram.
That should be default. Right. Just get that out of my face.
Yeah, you should have to opt in to that. But at least they're adding that. It's in direct response to complaint from users, so it's nice that they're listening. Alessandro Paluzzi has the receipts. He saw that in there. In his announcement on Threads itself, Adam Mosseri solicited additional feedback from users asking what else they can improve upon in addition to this feature that they have added, which I think is nice. They're listening, whether they do something about it or not or implement it correctly, I guess we'll see. But they want to hear from people. They want to make Threads happen. The article that covered this on The Verge also teased some other features that app researchers such as Alessandro Paluzzi have found. Hashtags and DMs may be coming to Threads. Like I said, they're really trying to make it happen. Good for them. Speaking of Alessandro, he spotted something else in the works, this time for Instagram. It looks like they're working on the ability to request a mention in stories. Not a lot of detail on how this could possibly work. It'd be interesting to see more context as this develops, but it could be a really good tool if you're a social media manager and you see something out there. It's a good opportunity for organic exposure, perhaps. Though my guess is if it's a creator and you reach out, you know, you request a mention, they're probably going to want money. But worth asking, because as the famous baseball quote says, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Sticking with Instagram, DM notes are apparently a really big thing with the kids. I didn't think anybody was reading those, but the platform is testing another way to highlight that content outside of your inbox. They're calling it a wonder wall, which I hate.
What?
Yeah. The little icon. This is another Alessandro Paluzzi find. There's a little icon of a clipboard and you can click it and it looks like that's where all of the notes will be featured in a standalone thing. So you can just like see what your friends are up to.
Whatever. Does Gen Z even know that song?
Yeah, probably not. It's an oldie to them. I don't know. It's also just a weird name for that. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Just give me like notebook or something.
Also, he's got too many notifications.
How many does he have? He has one.
No, this is an Android phone, so you can see notifications in the bar. It's like a much better system. Like he's navigating somewhere. He's got a lot going on.
Oh, I see. Well, he's busy.
He's on a VPN.
Of course.
Man's got things going on.
Yeah, that's how he gets into all this stuff. I'm pretty sure we talked about this before, but Instagram letting select users at the time share reels and feed posts only with their close friends, like you can do with stories, that is officially rolling out to all users. That's the new part there. That is coming. Keeping it meta. Apparently the ad-free... Okay, I know all y'all advertisers... Tune me out because social doesn't matter to you and usually the updates are more on the user side. Listen to this if you're in the EU, please. This is really important. Apparently, the ad-free subscription option that is being offered to users in the EU comes with some consequences. According to Social Media Today, not only will you no longer see ads in your own feed as a result of paying €10 a month, but you will also not be able to run ads or boost posts for yourself or your businesses depending on your subscription.
What?
Yes. This is apparently spelled out in the official terms. I don't know a single human being that reads terms. They just agree to them. So you probably missed this. It's a very important detail. Tables, you're going to have to censor me. It is a really shitty thing to do and to kind of sneak by people. But there are ways around it, or a way per Meta. If you subscribe, you can still, when we say subscribe, we mean to the ad-free version. If you subscribe, you can still boost posts or run ads for a page if that Facebook page isn't linked to an Instagram account that also has a subscription to use Meta products without ads. It's a really weird loophole. Hopefully you are in that case and can still run ads. But if you find yourself not wanting to see ads as a human and wanting to run them as a business and you live in the EU, you got a problem.
I guess that makes sense.
Because they use personal data and everything's associated with your own.
If you're saying my account, I'm paying money to not see ads, you're not going to be able to see your own ads. That makes sense. I don't know why anybody, A,
well, no, but you can't even run them.
Right, because you would be seeing an ad.
Yeah.
You would have to see your own ad to run
that. That's right. It's associated with a human being account. Yeah.
So that makes sense to me. I don't know why anybody would pay not to see ads. I would pay not to see threads. That's what I pay for.
Well, hopefully everyone will opt out and you can get that for free. From The Hollywood Reporter, Trump's Truth Social lost tens of millions since launch. A new filing shows this is the first time any financial details of the platform have been publicly shared. It's coming from disclosures that are required for a planned merger between the Trump Media and Technology Group and Digital World Acquisition Corp.
What's happening over there on Truth Social, Jess?
I have no heckin' idea.
Come on.
I didn't even know what it was until I opened this article. According to this, if you want to know how much money that is, it's $60.5 million. That's a lot. So, sorry.
Huge.
All right, last up here in social, TikTok is launching a new add to music app option that will let users add the tracks they hear in TikTok clips to their own music libraries on Apple Music, Spotify, or Amazon. So lots of money, I guess, going to musicians out there. They can rejoice and everyone else just rock on. And that brings us to our real life segment, straight out of our accounts and into your ear holes. It's time for Working Hard or Hardly Working, where we talk about what's going on in our IRL work. Good, bad, or otherwise.
I'm going to pull a PPC Greg and do one on each side this week. Wow. So first of all, to follow up on him, he was complaining about Google Ads Editor, I believe version 2.5.2 last week and how slow it was. I'm on 2.5.4 and can confirm I can do nothing. So good luck, everyone. Also, if you are a working mom, breastfeeding, traveling for work, shout out to a company called Milk Stork. I got this, like, well, Greg got it, refrigerated cooler that doesn't use any ice. And I didn't really know how it worked at first, but I would recommend shipping it to your hotel. And then you put all your milk in it when you're leaving and you can, like, check your bag at the airport and it keeps it cold for up to 90 hours, but you don't need any ice. So you can, like, only use it for that 90 hours, but it's awesome. So shout out, working moms.
And let's be honest, Jill got that. Yeah. Not me. I just say, go, Jill. Do what you got to do.
What about you, Greg?
I think something working hard is like trying to be social and nice to people. It just reminded me at Brighton SEO, like when I first went to a conference in 2007, I didn't talk to a single person. I was so scared. I didn't do anything. It took me like probably like 3 years to like kind of like come up with like people you could even associate with at conferences. And I don't know, I like went to Toastmasters for 7 years. I went to Toastmasters, learned how to talk. I could never do this. This isn't even like who I am as a person, this like outgoing personality. I usually am like very reserved and stuff. And it's just like the community is super nice. The community is great. The community is working hard. They make everybody feel appreciated. If you're ever out somewhere and it's a conference or whatever, and you need a friend, you got us, like, just know, like, we've got a great PPC community out there that's super supportive. They are definitely working hard.
Working hard for me, if you're a ClickUp user, that's our project management system we use here at Cypress North. It has a forms feature, and we have been using it a lot to streamline requests coming in from clients. We've got people emailing us, Slacking us, things coming from all directions. And, you know, it started with some dev maintenance request things. We're now using it on the marketing side for people that have conflicting requests for landing pages. It just makes it really easy when things come in. You can instantly create a task, put in a separate list so you can review it and triage things. And it's much easier to see all the requests in one place, but then also look for conflicting things and, you know, prioritize tasks. So highly recommend that you use that if you use ClickUp. And now for this week's
Cool Tool.
As a reminder, our Cool Tool segment is not an official endorsement or paid mention. We're simply sharing something we found in our travels that may be of use to our listeners. And is really, really cool.
This week's cool tool is a keyword research friend until the end. It's Pixel Tools, and it really rules if you want to do keyword analysis without paralysis. And Shep, I went extra hard on the rhyme since you had nothing for me last week.
Shout out seriously, Kenny Hyder. I let you down. Sam at Brighton. This is his company, Kenny Hyder.
Oh, okay. Right on.
He's a listener, too. He always comments that people should listen to us in Reddit.
Aww. Hey, Kenny.
Thank you, Kenny. More about the tool. You start with a keyword to explore. It will spit out some related terms, so you don't just look at one term. You can add them to a report. You get data around things like search volume, CPC insights, expected sales, ROAS, revenue, gross profit, and you can input your own numbers, such as conversion rate, budget, things like that, to get real accurate math. It's really handy, and it's interactive, but then if you like what you see and you need to share it with a colleague or a stakeholder, you can just export the thing into a PDF. Really great stuff. Again, that is Pixel Tools, and as always, we'll have the link in our newsletter as well as on Discord. That's newsletter.andcommunity.marketingoclock.com, respectively. So pick your poison and check it out. Now it's time for our must-read marketing article of the week, an article so advanced, so in-depth, so detailed that we simply cannot cover it in its entirety on today's show.
This week's must-read marketing article of the week comes from Laura Sheely over on Search Engine Land. It's called Offline Conversion Tracking, 7 Best Practices and Testing Strategies. And Laura goes through a slew of items, including how you can assign value to your conversion events, how you can test optimizing for one or multiple actions in Google, how you can test different bidding strategies in Google, testing performance max if volume allows, how you can get granular with custom columns, lead gen versus conversion focus events on LinkedIn, and then how you can roll your sleeves up and get analytical. It's a great read over on Search Engine Land. Thank you, Laura. And if you want this and all of the other stories, like Jess just said, it's newsletter.marketingclock.com or community.marketingclock.com.
And now onto our playlist of curated songs to work to. You can head over to playlist.marketingclock.com to listen to Marketing a Playlist. I will be adding the Sparkling Diamond from the Moulin Rouge cast. Theater Season is back strong. It was a great show. Jess, what's your murder song?
Death of Peace of Mind by Bad Omens.
Greg.
Journey of One from Mansions 2 album by Mansions. Mike Posner, what
you just told me not to listen to it.
Well, you shouldn't listen to it. Humans should. I like it. It's going to work today.
All right. That does it for today's show.
It is now officially not Marketing O'Clock.
Thanks for listening.
We miss you already.
Can't wait to see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Marketing O'Clock. If you're looking for more information on today's topic, head over to marketingoclock.com/newsletter to receive every single article we covered. We share the news as it breaks in our Discord community. Head over to community.marketingoclock.com to join.
Welcome to this week's Shootin' the Heck. We're after our famous Friday news show. We don't talk about marketing anymore. We just
shoot the heck.
I almost forgot it there. Greg. Oh. We're playing everybody's favorite game.
Yes, we are.
You're just diving right into it.
Two types of people where you give an A and a B, and everyone either falls into one of those categories. No exceptions ever. Greg, what's your first question?
There are two types of people. People that like albums where the songs run together on the albums, or there's people that prefer the hard stop of a song end and then a brand new song begins.
I wouldn't say that I need them to run together. Like, it doesn't make the album bad, but I appreciate when it does. Beyonce Renaissance. Really nice.
So you like it when it runs together.
Yeah, I agree. It's hard because I'm a shuffle person, so sometimes you kind of miss that and things fade out and they suck. But if you're listening to an album and things flow and you don't know what track number you're on, that's a really elevated experience.
Yeah. What are you, Greg?
Oh, I like them flowing together.
Transitions.
Yeah. What's your example? Mike Posner?
Yeah. Which we were rocking out to.
Oh, it was like really loud. I didn't know he was a rapper.
It's not a rapper.
He's everything.
He was rapping.
Okay. Don't listen to the Mansions 2 album, though. Okay. It's too much.
Mine are all travel related. First one, do you like a window seat or an aisle seat on a plane? Nobody likes middle. No. Actually, Jess Bud might. You like aisle?
I like aisle. I don't want a middle seat if they're strangers. I don't even want it with friends because I don't want to have to go back and forth. But I like the aisle. Looking out the window is amazing, but it makes me nauseous. So I just don't. Give it to somebody else.
I think I've changed after this trip that we just went on. Like, I typically like the aisle so I can get up and I'm not a burden to people. I hate asking like I have to pee. And sometimes when you do like a trip across country, I might have a drink or two to try to like take a nap and then you have to go to the bathroom. But I didn't need to this time. And I'm like, you know what? I should just be on the window and I should just get cozy in there.
You do get the wall with the window. It's not even about the window. That's you what have it is like your own me. Space.
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, I'm no brainer window. I like to sleep. It's hard to sleep in the aisle seat, especially when you don't know the person next to you. And my biggest claim to fame is I have never peed on an airplane. And
what?
I flew from Rome.
You have so many claims to fame.
I flew from Rome to Toronto and did not pee on the airplane. The only time I've been in an airplane bathroom is to change a poopy diaper. I swear.
Wow. Do you even know how the toilet sounds?
No.
Wow.
It's loud, right?
Yeah. My kids hate it.
So I
hated it when I had to go in there with them.
It's loud. That's a long flight. Wow. How long is that?
I think it was like 9 hours.
I don't think I could do that.
You sleep for 9 hours. Well, maybe not recently.
I get up to pee.
You must have been so
I like planned it in advance, kind of.
What'd you do? Dehydrate yourself?
I just didn't really drink a lot of water that day.
Hmm. Are you scared?
I used to be way more of a germaphobe than I am now. Oh. And I have not been in a porta potty in 20 years. Like, confined spaces with fecal matter floating around really stresses me out.
I love the gamble of a
porta
potty.
Yeah, what do you do at a concert? I mean, men are different, but what do you do at a concert?
Most concerts have, like, stalls. They're at, like, an arena.
But, like, an outdoor, like, festival where it's just
rows. It's been a minute.
Wow.
I avoid situations that require a porta potty.
Wow.
Man. What's your next one?
Oh, can I go? I have one.
Okay.
This is, like, a utility-focused one. When you are putting on pants, you're doing them up. Button first or zipper first?
Zipper.
Button.
Ooh.
Button.
Which is dangerous because that's how you forget to do the zipper. I feel like I need the leverage of the button to pull up the zipper.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to be a zipper first person. And then now these high-waisted pants that everybody's wearing that are the only thing you can buy, you like need to line it up first with the button. And it really helps with the zipper. But I was never that person. It's like new in the last couple years.
Yeah. Greg, do you have another one?
Yes. I'm going to go... Just because of flights, I've got one here. I feel like there are people that have like a plain outfit versus people that just like show up. And I realize I've always just been showing up, but I look at people and they've got like the right pants or the right pockets. And it's like sort of, it's like sort of like athleisure, but it looks comfortable. Yeah. And I'm in jeans and I'm like, what are you doing?
Jeans on a
plane. I dress for battle.
But you know going into it.
Yes.
So I don't. I just get in whatever I'm in that day. And I'm like, oh, I'm in jeans and this.
I'm in like full workout wear.
Leggings or dye.
Yeah.
You want to be comfortable.
So sneakers. I think I'm going to become that. I'm going to like get like a plain outfit.
Yeah. You wore sweatpants when we podcasted. But you wore jeans on the plane.
Whoa.
That's so weird.
I like
you own sweatpants?
Well, they're like
giants. I like podcasting comfortably. You got jeans on today.
I know, but like I don't like having a button-down shirt. I like having, yeah. I don't know. I just like. You gotta like.
I need to be comfy on the plane.
Yeah.
You can wear sweats on the plane, Greg. I give you permission.
For sure.
Okay. Maybe my last one. When I go to a hotel, Do Not Disturb is going right on the door. I am just embarrassed of housekeeping seeing my mess and I don't want them in there. I feel like I would need to clean up for housekeeping. What do you guys think?
100%. Do not come into my room. Yeah. I will go downstairs and request sheets if I'm there for a couple of days, like a turnover, but I will not. I just leave me alone. It's my space. Mm-hmm. Get out.
I welcome you into my chaos. We've talked about this before, but I use the drawers. I take everything out.
You use the drawers? You're one of those people?
I've never done that. A drawer user. Wow. I've got everything there, nice and neat. I love just going to the hotel and you have it nice and clean. And then you get the fresh bed. Sorry, when they took that away, that was one of the worst things that's happened, minus all the deaths from the thing that happened in 2020, is like the fact that they didn't like remake your bed anymore. Yeah.
Every day they used to do it if you let them.
And now they do it again. Now they're doing it in San Diego. And I was like, yes, this is the best. And now I have my tight sheets there, everything cleaned up. I love it.
I just don't want them seeing what a mess I am. Anybody else have one more good one? Or
I do. I don't think we've ever talked about this, but say you get a meal and you have, we're just going to call it burger and fries, but the concept applies. Do you eat your burger first? Do you eat your fries first? I guess it's three kinds of people, but the third kind is really weird people that go back and forth. Take a couple bites, eat a fry. Take a couple bites, eat a fry.
I go back and forth.
It depends. If I'm like at a restaurant, it's different. I go back and forth. But if it's like fast food or something like that, you got to do one, then go to the next. So I'll do burger first.
No, I'm always eating the thing first and then the sides after.
No, you got to mix it up.
Make your mouth so dry just eating fries.
At the end, though, but then you don't eat them all either. That's a trick because you're already full from the entree.
That is a good tip.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let us know what type of person you are. Hopefully a good one. And we'll see you next week.